Well, everybody, and welcome to Trig Podcast of Joy. I'm not going to do my usual crazy intro only because it is kind of late when I'm recording this podcast. And honestly, I don't want to wake up the whole family. So you'll have to just imagine my normal, awesome, hilarious, and loud intro. Or just wait for the next podcast. But I do want to talk to you today, even though it is late, about what I learned at my first No More Anxiety workshop. And so I can't wait to tell you. But just speaking of maybe this evening, just as far as kind of where my mind is at right now, I am, as I said, here in my studio. It is late at night, and the family, they're not all asleep. But, you know, it's kind of late. I don't want to be so loud. You know, I kind of get loud on this awesome podcast because I get so excited about you guys and I love all of you. But also, it's hot. So I kind of feel a bit kind of exhausted, not so much physically, but just from the heat. And then this is something kind of weird that happened. Our beautiful dog, Daisy the dog, got sprayed by zorrillo? What is the word? Man, I don't know. A skunk. My goodness. I tell you, sometimes my Spanish gets the best of me. A skunk sprayed our poor dog. And so, you know, she's been dealing with that. And then she came into the house. So, man, the whole house now, it's quite the stink bomb, I must say, in here. So we've been kind of dealing with that a little bit. But apart from that, it's actually been a pretty good day, except for some of these things. I also did get a chance to another kind of important thing, not always fun, but I visited one of my friends at the hospital. He's dealing with some different issues, so it was just good to go see him here in the area, just go to the hospital and just to pray and encourage him, and hopefully he'll be out this week. So if you're listening, my dear John, I hope that you get out soon, and may God bring you peace quickly and healing to your body. So I also went to church, and as you know, I'm a pastor, and I love the church. I love my Savior Jesus, and so perhaps you were there. So I hope that you had a great time today. We learned about how God is the God of provision, and how He never ignores us. He always listens. He always hears us, and He provides right in the nick of time. So I didn't work out today. FYI, I have been working out a lot more consistently. I did have a bit of an off night last night in terms of my eating, although I've been very faithful the last week. But last night, I must say, I was just doing a little binge eating. But I'm back on the horse today. And so I'm excited and looking forward to having a much stronger week and start to this last week of July. Can you believe it already? My gozo heads already to the end of July, and here comes August, and wow, almost to the fall. But now the reason why I want to kind of, I guess, getting to the topic here of this episode, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about what I learned at my first No More Anxiety workshop is because, just to maybe set this up, is on Saturday, so just yesterday morning, I hosted here in my Gozo Studios in Long Beach, California, our very first ever No More Anxiety workshop. Now, in 2014, so about 3 years ago, I think it was March, so a little bit over 3 years, I hosted our very first Finding Grace Through Anxiety conference, and we had about 100 people. But this was a different kind of meeting. It was a small group, only five of us. And it was intentionally small because it was here in my home. And the idea was to make something more intimate and to perhaps build towards a conference sometime, maybe this fall or maybe next year. So we had a very nice group of five of us, and we learned a lot of things. And so if you don't know what these workshops and conferences are about, you may know that I am a certified anxiety mentor. I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counselor, but I went through a training for clergy and pastors on how to help people that deal with mental health issues. So I went through a three-week training over 3 days, 3 weeks, but basically just three Saturdays. So I went through that training and it was amazing. And on top of that, I myself have been in counseling for many years. And so I've learned a lot. And just the way my mind works, you know, my personality type, they call it the counselor. I am an INFJ, Enneagram 3, Wing 2. And if that's too much for you, you may need to look up personality types and find out your own, etc. But so I think there's just a natural tendency for my personality type to sort of counsel. I don't think I'm a long-term counselor. As I said, I'm not even a trained counselor, but obviously in seminary and in school and as a pastor, you learn to do that. But this is different than just your general spiritual advice. This, as I said, is more of a skilled advice, especially dealing with fear, anxiety, depression, shame, guilt, and all of the mental health issues that many of us deal with. And so the reason I wanted to share these things with you is because one day you may want to host your own workshop or your own live event, a conference or a small group or something like that. You know, these days, a lot of my listeners are people similar to what I'm doing. You're healers, you're people who like to give back, who want to help other people succeed at life. And so as it's something that's commonly done, you might want to do a workshop. And maybe you're wondering how to do that, how to go about it. What are some of the things that I did just this last weekend that hopefully can help you succeed? I thought that the workshop that I held was very successful. I gave out surveys and we had very positive comments. We had some great suggestions on things to improve. And so I want to share those with you as well. But I wanted to give you these tips because, as I said, you may want to do something similar in the future. So with that said, here are the 5 tips that I learned from doing my first ever No More Anxiety workshop here at the Gozo Studios in Long Beach, California. Number one is that authenticity is key. That authenticity and being vulnerable, especially me personally, is very important in order to create the right kind of environment. Now, obviously, for the theme that we're talking about, dealing with how we're feeling and kind of how we're dealing with shame and some of these things, it's obvious that you want to create a safe environment. And the best way that I know how is to share your own story. And so once I got through the intro and some of the welcomes and things, I opened with, who is David Trigg? And after I talked about my training and my experience and some of those things, and I talked about my own journey through fear and anxiety. And so I talked about it. And, you know, it's never easy for me, truly, to talk about my own journey. Even though I talk about it often and a microphone in this program, I've done it at church, I've done it with groups, at conferences, etc. It's still not the easiest thing because maybe in some ways I don't know if people can relate to it. Sometimes perhaps I don't know if I'm telling the story well or if it's intriguing or if people care. But through the years and from even just hearing other people's stories, I know that there's power when you have a speaker that is authentic and vulnerable. And so, and of course, you have to have limits and boundaries. I would never suggest that you just get up there and just free flow through your darkest night of the soul. I would advise you to work on your authentic speech. You know, it sounds ironic, but really you should rehearse your authenticity when it comes to your story. Because you don't want to bring people into uncomfortable places or into places that you haven't yet worked on yourself. And so I do, by the way, just as a side note here, in a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you the dates here later, I am hosting a workshop, another workshop, speaking of these, on effective communication, where I do go over things such as how to rehearse your story and things like that. So, but enough to say that authenticity is very important, especially for you as the speaker. Number two, and I mentioned this, is you have to create a safe environment. You know, really, you could be hosting a fitness workshop. You could be doing something on food or on maybe on your favorite entrepreneurial adventure. But if you want to connect with people, not only do you have to be authentic, but you really want to create a safe environment. And so what I did is, first we had the event at our house. And, you know, we have a very warm place. My wife really has done an amazing job of creating just a wonderful, well-lit, and, I don't know, simple but beautiful home. And I also like to clean. We have my mom here, who's such a great help to us as well. She's visiting. We have natural lighting. We did it in our front room where there we have some white curtains. And that morning, thankfully, it wasn't too hot. We did have the AC on earlier to kind of just get the place comfortable. We had some nice couches that we organized. I had a big screen TV, and I used my phone to put together some slides. And, you know, we had snacks. It was early in the morning at 10, so we had coffee, orange juice, bagels. My wife did a great job with just having a very safe and comfortable environment for people, because not only is it hard to talk about, you know, your shame and your guilt, but even if it was talking about, as I said, fitness, you want people, or you need to remember that people don't feel comfortable because they don't know you. Maybe they've never been with those people or in that room or in this hall or whatever you're using as a site, as a location. And so you want to provide things to make people feel comfortable. Maybe an icebreaker, a sign-up sheet, have snacks. One of the things that I did personally, because of the theme, is we sang together. We sang worship songs. We read scripture together. We did a couple of exercises where we're meditating on God's word. Just things that brought us together. It made us feel safe. And really, one of the things that happened that truly was just of God, it was that during the first session, we had three sessions. One of the young men that was here, he just opened up, and he was very vulnerable, and he teared up. And, you know, it really created a very authentic moment. And we all felt like it was okay to be real. And a lot of the comments that people then wrote back actually mentioned that. Not necessarily him tearing up, but just the how comfortable it was to feel, to be open, that it was okay for you to be open and to be yourself. And I remember one person said, it was great to do that with my brothers and sisters. And so you may want to think through, how can you create a safe environment? How can you create a place where people feel at home? Maybe it is the food that you serve, maybe the time of the day, maybe you have some sort of music that's playing in the background, flowers. You may want to make sure that your place is clean. If you are doing it at maybe a site that you're renting or at a church or that kind of thing, you want to make sure that the sound is on, the AC, just all those things that make people feel at home. Make sure you think that through. Number three, speaking of plan, is have a system. Have a organized plan that even though you can be flexible with, but that is thought through ahead of time. I think all of us have been to things that are not well planned. And just think of how you felt. You always feel just awkward, uncomfortable. You want to support your friend, or you know you might get some good value out of the event, but you know, people show up late, and maybe the slides aren't working, or the music is too loud, or the AC is not on and it's super hot, or maybe the room is too full and so you can't find a place to sit. There are so many things that can go wrong. You might as well plan for something to go wrong. And that's why it's important that you actually think ahead. So for example, you know, even though our event was at 10, we had two cancellations. We had some people that showed up right on time, others that showed up late because they had other things going on. And so I had a choice to make. You know, do I just start with just one person or two, or do I wait? And then how long do I wait? And so, but all of those things, even though they were just live reads per se, they were easier because I had a plan. And I could adjust the plan. But if I didn't have a plan, and if I was just kind of going off the cuff and flying by the seat of my pants, then the event could have just been too long or maybe not be very effective. And truth be told, the event did go about 45 minutes longer, in part because we started late and in part because some of the sharing, quote unquote, I think was longer than, well, not than planned nor than expected. Actually, I thought it was very good. But as one of the comments said, maybe make it into a 3-hour event instead of two. That way people can just simply plan for 3 hours. You know, we were supposed to do 10 to 12 and it was more like 10 to 1. So it wasn't bad. We did have snacks, but people were hungry. So, you know, it was sort of time to go by the time 1 o'clock came. So have a plan. Now, another thing that I did in terms of a system or a plan is I had slides. As I mentioned, I had my big screen TV right next to me. I had my computer. I had my phone that was plugged in through Apple TV to my screen. So I was able to just sort of slide through flip through the slides on my own just using my phone. And it was very professional. My slides were well done. It was good contrast, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm not saying that you have to be high tech or you have to do a bunch of tech stuff. But, you know, people do expect, I think nowadays, some sort of visual affirmation or some sort of visual support to your content, maybe something to write on. So I did give them little treats, and we'll talk about treats here in the next point. But the slides just gave the whole event a sense of professionalism. So think through, if you're planning an event sometime maybe this fall, how can you, or if you're working with a team or whatever, how can you organize the event and have a plan? Make sure that you check in with your teammates and you work things out and work together as one. That's number three. Number four, we're talking today about what I learned at my first No More Anxiety workshop, so that in case you want to do something similar, you can hopefully implement some of these tips so that you also can have a successful event. So number four is give the people special treats. Give your team, your guests special treats and make them feel special, extra special. Again, one of the things that I never expect truly at events is for things to be personalized or to be, you know, I mean, of course, I expect my name to be at the registration table and my badge and whatever. But apart from that, I don't expect a lot more. I mean, if I was going to a bed and breakfast, perhaps I would expect fresh towels and chocolate on my pillow and whatever, and a robe for my wife and I. But, you know, for most conferences, obviously, I don't expect that. But it's always nice when you do get something. So give people special treats. So what did I do? Well, I bought everyone these small notebooks. I just went to the store that morning and got just some small notepads. Then I got pens for everyone. And you might think, well, that's silly. But remember, this was a small gathering and people maybe just wouldn't think of bringing, you know, a backpack with books in it. And so they may end up, if I hadn't done that, they may have ended up using their phones or just, quote, remembering their what they're learning. But it was so nice to have people write things down, because we did have, as I said, some slides. And even though I emailed them the slides that afternoon, it was just great. And I remember one of the attendants said, oh, I can keep this? This is mine? And I said, yes. And it turns out that her love language, if you know about love languages, is gifts. And so for her, she was telling the group, it meant the world to be able to keep that pen and keep that notepad. And so that was fun. Now, on top of that, as I mentioned, we gave them food. We had coffee, water, all the normal stuff. But then on top of that, I also had a raffle. And so I bought this, just this silly, but yet fun, and it fit the theme. You know, Gozo is my theme, so Gozo obviously means joy. And so I bought this lunch pail, literally a lunch pail, and these were all adults. But, you know, it's back to school sort of season, so I bought a lunch pail that had all these Gozo emojis on it, right? All these happy faces and blah, blah, blah. You know, just like on your phone, all the emojis. And we had a raffle, and one of the girls entered her name. Well, everybody did, and she won the lunch pail, and it was just one of those very fun, very unexpected moments that made everyone just feel good. You know, I gave them gum. I learned that actually from my friend Cliff Ravenscraft. He also did an event at his house in Cincinnati. So, hello, Cliff, if you're listening to this podcast, thank you for your for mentoring me through your event so I could have a successful event myself. And so, you know, he mentioned how I think maybe he learned it from someone else himself, how having gum or having just breath mints was such a great thing, especially because he served lunch, I believe, and how people, you know, they always are aware of their breath and they want to come across as pleasant, and you don't have gum or you feel weird or you think you're the only one having to do this. This way, I gave everyone breath mints. We just kind of laughed it off. It was normal, and everyone felt nice and minty fresh. So think of special treats. What can you do to have your people feel special? What are some of the treats that you can give them? Is it a raffle? Is it something at the door? Is it maybe something that you're going to give away at the end of the event? Maybe something where they have to text a number? Or maybe you're going to send them a gift in the mail. Obviously, it's always better to have people win in the moment and make a big deal of it. And so, but I think thinking through those special moments is going to go a long way. And then lastly, and I think this really is the crux of the matter per se, is just to enjoy yourself and have fun together. You know, because back to, I guess, maybe the theme of our conference or our workshop, because we're talking about sort of counseling themes and therapeutic themes, you can tend to feel that you're going to go to these things and cry, and we did cry, and feel sad, and at times we did, but you don't expect to actually have fun, right? And now you may not be doing a therapeutic workshop, but you might be doing something on fitness. And again, you might say, well, this is all about fitness and we need to eat healthy and work out, but you forget to have fun. You forget to actually enjoy the moment. So what I did at our event is we sang, which was great. We did the giveaway, which was so fun. We also, at the end, we stayed for a while. Some people had to leave, others stayed. We talked. One of the guys had lunch with us. We just invited him over. My wife made some sandwiches. And we also, at the conference that I hosted 3 years ago, we actually had beach balls that we threw around the room. Can you imagine? And guess what? We threw them around to the Happy song by Pharrell. And that literally was our closing session. So imagine at an anxiety conference to have the guest and the host actually throw beach balls around like at a Dodger game or at a baseball game. I mean, how fun is that? And so make sure that you enjoy yourself. If you're not kind of a fun-loving person, make sure someone on your team does his or her part to bring that element to your event. If you are fun-loving and you enjoy laughing at yourself, one of the things I do in my shows, as you know, is I tell jokes. I wear silly hats. I have my emoji gozo head with me and I talk to it. You know, I'll have Bede Burro videos if you've seen my live streams. I'll do things like that just to entertain people, to make them smile, to laugh at myself, to, you know, if a joke bombs, I just tell them it bombed, and I do that all the time. My kids always know that I bomb my jokes. You know, being able to laugh at yourself is so important. If I can do it at a counseling retreat, then you can do it at whatever event you have. So enjoy the people, have fun together, make sure that everyone is having a good time. So those are the five tips. And as I said, I'm giving you these just in case you also are thinking of hosting an event, based on your cause or your passion, or maybe if it's a business or a creative thing. Everyone these days is having events. And I hope that my event can give you some tips. Now, one last thing that I did, maybe as a bonus round, is I had a survey. I had everyone fill out a survey. And that's something that I've been really growing in more and more. I've been hearing people do that. And it's just a great practice to ask people for feedback. And so what I did is I typed five questions. I learned, even as I was thinking it through later and talking to my mom, my questions probably could have been a little bit more specific, but I did general questions like, what did you enjoy most? What was the best moment for you personally? What was the best session today? And then, of course, what would you do differently? And then would you recommend this to someone else? And it was just a very quick sheet of paper, and I just had them fill it out at the end while they were kind of wrapping up. It took them 5 minutes. They had already won their prize. They had gotten all the content, and they felt great. So they were more than happy to do that. And then I asked them if I could share that on social media, anonymously, of course, and just some of the things that they would feel comfortable about. And so they said yes. So I used some of the comments for my marketing and for my workshops and future things. So all that stuff, as well as pictures, which of course I did not take, but usually I'll take pictures and I'll ask them for permission to post them on my social media. So all of those things, as far as surveys and feedback and marketing, is very important. And so maybe take that as a bonus 6 point on how to make your next event a success. So, well, I hope, my dear friend, that content has given you some encouragement and some ideas. Now, what is something that I would have done differently or better? What was some of the maybe fine-tuning comments that I got? Well, as I said, one is to make it into a 3-hour event. That way, people know in advance that it was going to be longer than expected. So I think that's a good tip. Number two, I think someone said maybe we could have sang longer and done more meditation. So that was a great tip because it made sense to me. I thought, well, this is, after all, something about our fear and how to overcome our anxiety. So maybe instead of just conversation and content, as good as that was, it would have been good to actually just do more of the spiritual part and to take a little bit more time with that. So I thought that was very good advice. So maybe you also make sure that you, I guess my point is, make sure that you are asking for feedback so that you can consider and tweak your next event. And so we're actually going to do another event in September. I forget the date right off the top of my head, but in September, I think it's 23rd, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have our second small group called, again, the No More Anxiety Workshop. And so, and then maybe, as I said, in the winter, November, December, or January, February, we'll have an actual conference called the Finding Grace for Anxiety Conference, so that maybe you can look forward to that as well. And we'll have all the dates here coming up soon, so please make sure that you go to davidtrigg.com to check out the latest information. So with that said, my friend, I did want to wrap up with one more announcement. Speaking of effective communication and online success, this Saturday, July, let's see, what is it, the 29th, so this coming Saturday, at 10 a.m., I'm also going to be hosting another workshop here in the summer. We're doing 3, and this is the second one called Grow Online. And that is if you have a channel, if you want to grow your YouTube channel, if you want to get into podcasting or live streaming, and you want a system on how to actually increase your reach and how to make your channel better. My daughter and I, Canela and I, are going to host this amazing event at a very, very affordable price so that you can learn the techniques that we've both used to have online success. And so if you are interested in that, and if you're in the area here in the Long Beach area, then go to lifeofghosts.com/growonline, register there. As I said, you're going to get thousands and thousands of dollars of value for a very, very, very low price that will bring you tons of information and really will help you grow your channel a lot faster than if you just did it on your own. And then on August the 6th, I believe it is, so that is in about 2 more weeks, and that's going to be on a Sunday. On Sunday, I believe it's August the 6th, I'm going to be hosting the last of my 3 summer workshops, and this one is called Effective Communication. And that one is going to be for all of you who speak online, who are on a stage, who maybe you're a musician or a speaker. Perhaps you do want to grow as a communicator. You want to grow a podcast or an online channel, but as many people say, now what do I say? I have the microphone, but now what? So if you want to become a better communicator, as you know, I have 20 plus years of communicating experience, both through speaking, music, as well as podcasting and live streaming. So I would like to share the tips that I've learned along my online and offline journey on how to be a more effective communicator so that you can connect with your audience more authentically and more powerfully. So that one is going to be on Sunday, August the 6th at 3 p.m. here in the Gosa Studios in Long Beach, California. And for that, again, it's a very, very affordable price. We have priced it just right so that we can get the most reach for the least amount of expense for you. And that's going to be the registration at lifeofgoso.com/communication. lifeofgoso.com/communication. With that said, thank you guys for your time. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast. I know that you have many options, but I thank you for being a part of the Gosa community. I'm here with you podcasting about twice a week and live streaming on Mondays and Fridays. Monday in English, 9 a.m. Pacific, and Fridays at 9 in Espanol. Also, on my Facebook channel, you can go to David Trigg or David Trigueros TV or David Trigg Live. Thank you again, everybody. I'm not going to do my normal loud outro again for the same reasons, because everyone's asleep and it is kind of late. But I encourage you to follow me on Snapchat at David Trigg LA. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you next time. Adios.